Hi there, and welcome to A Different Way of Seeing. Have you ever wondered how a disabled person lives their life? Join our host, Lois Drachen, as she chats to people about work, education, travel, sport, the arts, and leisure, and the tools and techniques they use to live their lives with the disability. And now, on with the show.
Hi there, it's Lois. If you're a person with a disability who's wanting to achieve a goal and is looking for some help to get there, then maybe I'm the person you need to talk to. Listen after the interview and find out more details of how I can help you to reach your goals and dreams. Thanks today to Hindenburg Pro for assisting us in producing the show. That's Hindenburg.com. Hindenburg, it's all about the story. Hi there, and welcome to today's episode of A Different Way of Seeing, a podcast where we talk all things disability. I'm your host, Lois Drachen. And today we are chatting to a woman who's become a good friend of mine over the last few months. We've been chatting quite a lot, and she's helping me out with some work, and including transcriptions for some of these podcasts. And I've really enjoyed just getting to know Michelle. And I thought it'd be a really great opportunity to bring her onto the show as a guest so that you can also hear what an amazing woman Michelle is. Michelle Nell, welcome. It's great to have you with us on A Different Way of Seeing.
Thanks so much for having me.
So Michelle, as I usually do, typically I start off by asking people just to let my audience know a little bit about who you are and a little of your story. So maybe we can start there.
So, I was born with glaucoma, and I have a very limited degree of vision. So all along, I thought that that would be my greatest challenge. But later on in life, I was diagnosed with psoriatic arthritis, as well as multiple sclerosis. So health-wise, that's who I am. Currently, I'm busy with a PhD in psychology, and I'm also a classically trained musician.
Ooh, there's all sorts of different things there for us to dive into during the conversation. So let's talk a little bit about your visual impairment, because one of the barriers I think we face as people who are blind and visually impaired is the stereotypes of what people think of blindness / visual impairment, you know, that it makes you incapable of doing anything, incapable of living a life, which clearly you are not. So tell us a little bit more about your visual impairment, your glaucoma, and the impact that it's had on your life.
So, I think the biggest challenge for me about my vision impairment is the fact that it has social challenges. You know, throughout my life, I've learned to live as a blind woman, blind student, you know, and I view my blindness as simply one more characteristic, physical characteristic of mine. I find that they are sort of binary views about blindness. It's either, you know, blindness is a result of the sins of the forefathers, and it's a condition that needs to be healed, versus blind people are super grips and have above human abilities. But to me, my blindness is simply a part of who I am. And I'm actually quite happy with my identity as blind woman today.
You know, my sense of most of us who are living with vision impairments is that that's what we feel, that we are just, I use it, you know, in my own work, I talk about being just an ordinary person who happens to use different tools and techniques to do the tasks that I want to do. And that different only means different. It doesn't mean inferior.
Yes.
And, you know, that seems to be becoming an incredibly strong message that I'm seeing, hearing in the BVI community, the blind and visually impaired community, which is good. But how we spread that to show that to the rest of society, I think remains to be seen. But we have to keep on fighting the good fights and hope that eventually people will start taking notice. So do you have residual vision? Are you a total, a partial? How would you describe your visual impairment?
So I have a distorted cornea, I have vision in my left eye. So apparently it's like looking through a dirty pane of glass. But for me, I've got what they call functional vision. So I can see color, light and darkness, just not detail. And to me, my vision is absolutely paramount. If it might not be much, but if you would blindfold me, I would be totally lost.
It's an interesting perception, I think, that many people believe that if you're blind, you are blind. You cannot see anything. Where there are many people who are, and I don't really like the term, but who are on a spectrum of what they can and cannot see. And that can also change day to day for many people. So thank you for having the vulnerability of describing a little bit of what it is that you yourself can see. So you told us that you are living with a number of autoimmune conditions. And the most recent one that was diagnosed was multiple sclerosis. How do you navigate the autoimmune conditions then together with your visual impairment? Are there factors that make it more difficult for you to navigate it or make it more difficult for you to live as a vision impaired person, particularly someone with a guide dog? You know, how do how do you navigate those worlds of having a complex diagnosis that you're living with?
You know, Lois, this is a very necessary question, and it's one that my answer of which starts with, I'm on a journey of discovery. Mm-hmm. I often write about my experiences because obviously I'm hoping for catharsis. I think in the first place, it's very valuable for me to have received the diagnosis in the first place, because as many people with autoimmune conditions would attest, it's a battle. Some people go years without all kinds of blood tests and whatever else, not yielding any results, you know, that doctors can say, okay, now we are able to tell you that your problem is this. So it is a journey that is teaching me a lot of perseverance and also helping me to develop a sense of agency. So when you're blind, particularly those of us who are born blind, you go through life and you encounter logistical challenges, social challenges, even psychological challenges. Mm-hmm. But I would say that I pretty much had that all down in my 20s. But with these new symptoms, I shall expound on them if you want in a little while. But I basically had to put my foot down and go from the one specialist to the other and tell them, doctor, I have these symptoms. It's not normal. I know my body. I'm the one who's been living in it for almost four decades. And I'm telling you there is something wrong. And it's been quite a few years before I actually received the medical attention that I have. So, yeah, grit and perseverance and a sense of agency, that is very important to develop.
And yes, I think that sense of agency is fundamentally important for many people, not just people with disabilities. And I'm curious to see that is such a positive result, a positive consequence of what could be for many people a very traumatic experience, receiving a diagnosis of an autoimmune condition. But as you said, I want to go back and actually pick up on the point that you mentioned, multiple sclerosis. What types of symptoms are you experiencing? And what is multiple sclerosis or MS?
Multiple sclerosis is an autoimmune condition where your immune system mistakenly attacks the covering of your nerves, myelin, and as a consequence, there are problems with a signal between your brain and your nerves. So it's a central nervous system problem. Multiple sclerosis, I've got severe relapsing multiple sclerosis, is a very tricky condition to diagnose because patients come to specialists with all manner of symptoms. And it's basically by a process of elimination over time that doctors finally decide or, you know, arrive at a conclusion about what's up with your health. So since a very young age, I almost always had a very weak bladder. And it was the topic of many a joke. And apparently I take after my paternal grandmother, but it was never explained. And then in 2015, I started experiencing tinnitus, which is a hissing in your ears.
Yeah.
And at first it was intermittent. Now it's constant. And I was always a klutz. I would always fall very easily, get hurt very easily. And my muscle tone was always very low. So on 8 May 2023, I got out of bed. It was a particularly cold week and my feet had no feeling. And for weeks, I was walking around thinking that I have circulation issues and I would do all kinds of things in order to try and warm my feet up, but they just wouldn't warm up. And it just never went away. And I started developing very severe balance issues. I would stand in one place and then suddenly I'm a Charlie Brown in order to keep my balance. And so then I was diagnosed with some high frequency hearing loss, which for me as a musician is such a scary thing.
Of course.
Then the journey started with me trying to convince doctors that, look, I'm here, I'll do my vitamin B level testing and everything, but please, please just don't let me go, help me. And then ultimately, last year, June, they did a nerve conduction test, which yielded no results at all. And then in November, I underwent an MRI and CT scan, and those revealed lesions in my spine. At certain times, I have a numb, tingling feeling in my hands and arms as well. And I just hope those won't be permanent symptoms, because I'm a pianist and I really need my hands.
I'm startled that the journey has been such a long one, from 8th of May 2023 till, well, we're now in May 2025. Do you think that's normal for many people trying to receive or find a diagnosis of an autoimmune condition?
From what I hear, that's not uncommon. And autoimmune conditions are particularly difficult to pinpoint.
Now, Michelle, I remember traveling your journey with you, watching your Facebook posts as you were discussing this, and I noticed that the doctors were considering several other autoimmune conditions, including lupus. Is that one of the reasons that the diagnosis can take so long, that there are several different diagnoses that or conditions that can exhibit many of the same symptoms? Is that a factor that plays into it?
Absolutely. So how the one neurologist explained to me, I have an inflammatory condition. There's inflammation in the body, in the brain. And it's basically like a rainbow, not in the happy sense, but in terms of variety. So the challenge that doctors have is the fact that they need to, by way of this metaphor, identify what color they are dealing with, so that they can match the treatment and, you know, help the individual, gain some level of good health. So at first they considered lupus. They also considered Sjogren's disease. They considered a condition named Susac, and that was impossible for me to find information on, because I think it's I speak under correction, but it's a newly discovered condition. And then they seem to veer more towards multiple sclerosis.
How did you feel after receiving your diagnosis?
You know, Lois, I believe that once we can name the monsters that threaten to overpower us, they finally become conquerable. And that's the thing for me. some people would say, oh, receiving my diagnosis was the worst day in my life. I received a label. Now I must live with this reality. I was so grateful because now my sickness has a name. And it's finally proof, black on white, that this wasn't my imagination, that my fears were and are legitimate, and that I have a serious health condition that needs treatment.
And, of course, I think the fact being that there is treatment, and that now that you have a diagnosis, you know the regime of treatment that is going to be the most beneficial to you.
So my neurologist told me that treatment will improve my symptoms by 20 to 30%. And some other people with multiple sclerosis have shared very positive stories in terms of how effective the treatment is. So I'm very thankful that I live in the era in which I'm in and that there is hope, because ultimately the treatment will prevent or help prevent for the most part, any relapses from taking place. Because my neurologist told me that the relapse I had was very severe and they can't leave it untreated, because next time it might be another devastating relapse that might, I don't know, land me in a wheelchair or something. One just doesn't know how it can strike.
Fair enough. Along with your hope and your relief that you have a diagnosis, however, I'm sure there are challenges that are facing you at the moment. What are the greatest challenges that this journey is taking you on?
For the moment, my biggest challenge is an economic one. So I am a full-time PhD student, was meant to finish this year, but I was put on medical leave due to my symptoms, which include fatigue, body weakness, and my balance issues, causing me to fall more, sustain some injuries. And so I'm unable to work. I don't have access to funding because I'm not studying. And I need to keep the wolf from the door, which is a very scary thing for me to tackle. So at the moment, I launched a crowdfunding campaign through which I invite people to donate to my cause to help me with covering living costs and even medical expenses as well.
Are you able to share the details of that crowdfunding project with us, or can we put them into the show notes for the episode? What would be easiest?
Let's put them in the show notes. I think that would be best.
Great. So for anyone who's out there who's listening to this and says, yes, I can give a lending hand to Michelle, to her guide dog, and help her with some of those expenses, the The link will be in the description of this episode. Thank you, Michelle. You are, well, you mentioned right up at the top of the interview that you are starting to write about the journey. Are you sharing that writing? Are we able to tap in and learn along with your story as you're experiencing it? Or are you not yet in a position where you're sharing it?
Absolutely. I have a Facebook page called Threads of a Life, My Journey with Neuromuscular Disease. And it's basically just a space where I share any thoughts and feelings that I have. And it's my attempt to both chronicle my journey as well as provide some informational details that might serve to inform other people along the way who are walking a similar journey than myself.
Wonderful. We will share the link to that Facebook page as well in the episode notes, because I've been following along as you share some of your experiences. And, you know, I find writing for myself is such an important way for me to process what is happening in my life. And it's very cathartic. It's got a healing aspect. But yes, there's also a very strong awareness-raising component to help others who may want to understand more about the condition or who may be experiencing the same condition and be reaching out to find people whose experiences make them feel a little bit less alone. So we'll definitely share those details as well. So, Michelle, apart from the crowdfunding information and the Facebook blog information, if people would like to reach out to you to find out about you, your journey, your music, your diagnoses, your guide dog, how can they do so?
I can be contacted via email at mnell, and my surname is N-E-L-L, piano@gmail.com, and I would be happy to connect with anyone who wants to learn more about the disease, learn more about me, or just say hi.
Great. Thank you, Michelle. So as a final question then, what advice would you have for someone who's receiving a new diagnosis of an autoimmune condition? Where should they start?
Trust your body. You are the expert of what goes on in terms of sensations you experience and how things change for you over time. Develop a sense of agency and be patient with yourself in that regard, because it takes time to develop a voice and to temper it in such a way that medical professionals will actually listen to you, because that is a challenge. Don't do this journey alone. The human is a social animal. And it's been proven that people with strong social connections live longer. You need people around you who will build you up and bring you proverbial chicken soup when you need it.
Great. Michelle, thank you so much for joining us on A Different Way of Seeing. Today, we've been joined by Michelle Nell, who's been sharing with us a little bit of her story as a vision impaired woman with a recent diagnosis of an autoimmune condition, multiple sclerosis. And Michelle, we thank you for your courage and your vulnerability and your willingness to just share a little bit of information with us in the hope of raising awareness to help others in our community and our world to learn a little bit more. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much for creating a space for this, Lois. And I'm sure it will help a lot of people along the way. Thanks so much.
I'm sure it will. Thanks, Michelle. We will speak soon. Hi, it's Lois again. I'm not certain if you know, but I am a coach who works specifically with people with disabilities. If you have a disability and are wanting to achieve your goals, or maybe think through some of the challenges that you're facing in your professional or personal life, or want to take up a new opportunity, a new adventure, but just don't seem to be able to get to doing it, let's explore how I can help you. Hop onto the Contact Me form on my website, www.loisstrachan.com. That's Loisstrachan, LOISSTRACHAN.com. And sign up for a 30-minute discovery call so we can chat to see if I am the right person to help you to achieve your goals. Contact me now for that free 30-minute discovery call on loisstrachan.com. I'd love to have the opportunity of helping you to achieve your goals.
Thank you for listening to A Different Way of Seeing. We would love to connect with you. So find Lois at loisstrachan.com or Facebook, Lois Strachan Speaker. This podcast was edited by Craig Strachan using Hindenburg Pro. Hindenburg, it's all about the story. The credits are done at Naledi Media. Naledi Media, all your vocal needs under one roof. Read by Charlie Yasi. That's it for now. Thank you for joining us and see you next time when we bring you into the world of seeing differently.